Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Hey, it's JMS. I am so excited for you to check out this episode. And if you are in Cincinnati, I will be there February 7th and 8th. I'm doing two shows, technically in Dayton, Kentucky. I will be giving 10% of the show to a local charity called Women Helping Women. And if you're in Wrightwood, California on Valentine's Day, or if you're looking for something to do on Valentine's Day and are interested in a cute little mountain escape, I'm doing a Valentine's Day show at the Speakeasy at Wrightwood B&B. And those are my road shows for the time being. I am otherwise in LA or perhaps in other cities while I edit and promote and get ready to release my very first hour special. So I will see you out on the road. Thank you for listening. Enjoy this episode.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought?
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorances Blast podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots, it's me. I am reporting. I mean, I am literally hearing a giant plane go overhead now, and I don't know if you guys can hear it, and you probably can't. I'm reporting live from my bunker where I've hunkered down. It's not a bunker, it's just a hotel, but I am, as of now, still out of the city because of the fires. Planning to go back Saturday, but reading so much about the air quality that it's not making me super stoked. I have existing health conditions and shitty lungs. And this stuff isn't good for people with healthy lungs. So what a fun way to kick off this episode with me taking what is one of the worst tragedies in natural disaster history and making it only personally about me and my struggle. But listen, I don't know. It's my podcast. What am I supposed to fucking do? This shit is crazy. It has been, I don't know. I keep seeing people say this, and it's true that it is nice to see how much the community just immediately has come together. People are like, what's beautiful is that in times like these, everyone bands together. And that is beautiful. But also, like, it doesn't make me feel hopeful about humanity that people are, like, coming to, I don't know. I mean, about the capacity of humans, sure. About the future of humans on the planet Earth. Yet no amount of me donating my food is going to stop the Earth from trying to engulf us in flames. I have to restart this. This is too sad. Now, did I just stop this because I was going to re-record it and then absolutely keep all of that in there because my boyfriend, who is trapped in this hotel with me, and he won't use the word trapped to my face, but I guarantee if someone were to go through his text messages, there's got to be at least one to someone going, I just wish she would shut up. I just wish maybe she would lose her voice. That's all. Is that maybe we go back for a day and the smoke takes her ability to chat about every fucking thing that comes up. But he did go, I thought that was funny. So am I keeping it? Because I got the validation of, one person, the only potential audience. And let me tell you, he just walked out with the dog, and thank God, because it is so fucking uncomfortable trying to record a conversation by yourself with someone in the room. I mean, are people with solo podcasts doing them with, usually there's an audience in there and they don't talk to them at all? It's fucking psychotic. And for me, it's really highlighting, I don't know, people right now are talking about the TikTok ban. They're going fucking crazy being like, listen, first of all, as I'm saying this, CNN, which my boyfriend at this point, I think, is addicted to. Is there heroin in it? I'm not sure what's happening. He cannot fucking turn it off. It's making me crazy. But people are talking about on CNN that Trump is saying maybe he'll come in and save it, which I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means he'd buy it. I don't fully understand why, what is happening. Like, China is getting our information, and so they want to stop it. And they're being like, it's a national security thing, but it's fucking okay for Instagram to take our information. By the way, the news just said, here are some alternatives. I've derailed from what I was originally going to say, but I will come back to it. There's an app called Red Note, which is Chinese owned, 300 million monthly users. And a bunch of TikTokers are going over there and they're calling themselves TikTok refugees. And, you know, some people are like, oh my God, embracing it. And, you know, the story is that people are realizing, oh my God, Chinese people are nice. Like, yeah, the like regular people who aren't a fucking government official trying to control a society. I don't know. It's for people to go, oh, China's bad. Like, the amount of fucking middle class and poor Americans that have this invented vendetta against China, which, look, I'm not smart enough to say it's invented. Maybe there's someone listening going, that's actually, they're really a threat. They're fucking balloons. Like, are they? Or is it just like, they might do more than us? Is this like the fucking space race where we're like, well, no, we got to do it first? Like, who gives a fuck if someone does something better than us? What's wrong with everyone? But the amount of people who are like, China this, and they should be shut down, and we got to protect ourselves from the Chinese, that are too fucking poor to have anything that hasn't been made in China in their home, is mind-blowing. That it's like, do you understand that you've been supporting China for years and now there's this fake campaign that, like, you're suddenly behind? That's neither here nor there. What's hilarious to me is Eleanor Conway, who's been a guest on this show before, a very hilarious comedian. She's based in the UK. Posted a video talking about how people are going over to from TikTok to Red Note, and Asian women are calling them fat. And God bless these Chinese women just being like, oh, you're fat, instead of like, I'm sorry, did you think you were going to take your community that's lifted you up and been like, yes, queen? No, don't take care of yourself. Live for filling the void immediately, instead of learning to deal with your emotions and maybe doing something healthy for yourself. You thought that it was just going to be all well received in body positivity in China, in a country where they are just built to fucking, I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong. My understanding of Chinese culture is that, like, they want you to be in shape for whatever you're going to do. And, you know, I guess I'm saying that based on, like, the story that I, you know, heard about the Olympians years ago, where, like, it's like they start training them from a young age. They decide you're going to be an Olympian. And now I don't even fucking know that's true. But, like, did you think people in a country that is allegedly being, you know, controlled by their government and communist and whatever, were just going to be like, yeah, go off, queen, have as much as you want? I mean, imagine taking a super consumerist maximalist lifestyle to a Chinese app, where people, like, at some point weren't even allowed to have a second child. They were killing daughters in that country. And you just thought you'd be fully embraced. I mean, people are embracing, but it's like, first of all, I saw Lemonade listed as an alternative. Lemonade's owned by TikTok, so I don't understand how that's an alternative. And more importantly, and by the way, I say this as a person who puts content on the internet and feels obligated to as part of my career. When I do it, I am doing it in hopes that someone will see it. It will drive them to want to see me live. And, you know, they'll go down that rabbit hole. That will be my pipeline. As they see a video, that's funny. They start following me. Oh my God, that's funny. They like a few more videos. All of a sudden they see I'm in their town, either organically online or because they've taken the fucking one step. And I'm asking you to please, God, do this. If you like my comedy right now, go to just pause this and go to punchup.live/JMS. It's linked in the show notes. And just fucking sign up so I can reach you when I'm coming to your town. Because have you been on the hellscape that is the internet? You're going to miss the announcement. And then 2 days later, you're going to go, when are you coming to Cincinnati? And I was there February 7th and 8th. But you don't fucking see it because none of us see anything we want to see. Because we're on the apps more if we're angry and annoyed. So it does that to annoy us. The amount of people who are TikTok creators that are like, what will I do now? TikTok has been my living. I'm saying this with my whole fucking body. I do not feel bad for you. You have to figure out how to make a living outside of TikTok. Sure, a lot of people have kickstarted careers. A lot of people have seen huge boosts in what they do. Market elsewhere. If you haven't figured out how to make whatever audience you've gained translate from TikTok to at least another app or an actual skill set, this is the biggest thing. If you're making money and you have no viable skills, I don't feel bad for you. Get a fucking skill. Why don't you use the money you've made doing TikTok videos, talking about how your neighbor's a fucking bitch or whatever, being mean to your husband in the background, who, by the way, is going to leave you. He's going to leave you. You're being a fucking dick to your wife. She's going to leave you, especially when this TikTok fucking fountain runs out. Making your kids be in your family choir, they're going to therapy and they're going to fucking hate you as an adult. You should be, this is probably saving your family in the long run. Use the money you've made and go to a trade school. Go to college. Get a fucking skill. Contribute to society. Because I don't care who you are. If your main source of income is talking on your phone and saying anything, you're not providing resources, you're not linking anyone to any education, you're not using that to raise money, you're not helping society. You can tell yourself whatever the fuck you want here. You know, I'm making a difference because I'm speaking up about cultures that are we're marginalized and I'm talking about the rights of gender issues. And it's like, yeah, you're getting views from people who already fucking agree with you. And you're getting boosted by people going, that's gay, in your comments. You're not fundamentally changing anything. Maybe be grateful that you had the opportunity to ride the little wave. You did. You should be using these last few days to be like, hey guys, migrate over here. If you really like my stuff, I'm also on Instagram. Come see me on Facebook. But I know some people are like, but Facebook doesn't fact check. And it's like, neither do you, bitch. You're regurgitating something you heard someone else say and you got mad about and now you're running with it because it gets views. Do I make money from some of my videos on the internet? Occasionally. Every once in a while, I get a good little chunk of money. Couple $100. Not going to lie to you guys. When a video goes viral, not all the time. But one time, I think one or two times, this is what I don't fucking understand, by the way. Facebook, hey, while you're going on a publicity tour talking about how free speech is important and why worry about what the truth is on the internet with a bunch of fucking idiots just ingesting things like it's truth, why doesn't someone explain why sometimes when a video goes viral, I've made a couple $100 and other times, nothing. Literally nothing, or like literally $6. And I wish I could, like, I could chalk it up to, well, the content. A lot of my videos aren't monetized. I'm not putting them out there to be monetized. When it happens, when I'm able to get money, I like at some point I got enough views or whatever the fuck that Facebook was like, you can monetize now. So am I going to take advantage of that? Sure. They're throwing ads in there anyway. Someone's paying for those ads. Give me that fucking money. Fuck you. You're advertising to people using my content. Sure. But when it's crazy, they're getting rid of fact checking and they're like all about free speech. But guess what? You think my videos about pussy are going to start monetizing more because free speech? Absolutely not. No, it's a bunch of men who want to be able to call people cunts and fucking spew their conspiracy theories. That's who they're protecting. All that to say, if you can reach your audience on Facebook, those are real people who are willing to engage in your actual product that you're selling. I've found the most directly from the most, not the most, the best translation I have of social media to ticket sales has been on Facebook and then probably Instagram, but, or I guess the podcast and then Facebook and the podcast and then Instagram. But all that to say, thrilled. The one time I got a check from Facebook 2 years ago, right after I started paying a social media person, which initially it was a company that I switched to, my friend Noah Kopfer, who's very funny, who I will be having on the podcast very soon. He's also helping me edit the special. We've had to push our meeting for the first, for me to watch the first cut twice because of these fucking fires. And now I feel like there's a fire under my ass, no pun intended, because my good friend Andrew Themelis, who edited my first album, my Please Don't Leave Me album that's went to number one on iTunes that you can only now get, you can't get it anywhere. And that's because a company called 800 Pound Gorilla was affiliated with a company called Spoken Giants. They're the same. They're in the same fucking building and they're two different things, but, or pretending they're two different things. But Spoken Giants is like a fake bullshit. We're pretending we're about comedians' rights company. And I filmed something with 800 Pound Gorilla and they lied to me and scammed me into signing a contract that was supposed to, as I was told, and was laid out just be to cover the thing that they filmed. And then they claimed ownership for every fucking thing I'd ever put out up to that point. So they claimed ownership of my independently produced album. So, yeah. Is it cutting off my nose despite my face to remove my album from every outlet so now it can't even be discovered? And it's an album that getting discovered organically on things like Spotify greatly helped my career? Sure. But if you want that, go to beacons.ai/JMS comedy and you can join my email list there and you'll get a free download. And I don't usually spout that one because I moved over to PunchUp, but I haven't figured out how to fucking make this thing on PunchUp. So if you want that, just tell me. Just go there. Whatever. This has really turned into a bitch session about things that really are so small, which this fire has highlighted. And not, I wasn't in, I didn't have my head up my ass in a way that I didn't realize that the things I worry about. Yeah, I know, being stressed about, like, when will I get on stage next to talk about how my boyfriend is getting into crypto? Like, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't fucking matter. And this has once again put under a magnifying glass what really matters. In fact, we're talking about getting out of LA, at least for a little while. We might go city hop for a bit because I can technically tour out of anywhere. I don't know. Like, it's going to depend on a few things, but also Nate has to figure it out with his job. But like, yeah, because it's like, what am I in LA for? Am I like, if what I care about is stand-up comedy, it's not the best city for stand-up comedy. And even if it is a great city for stand-up comedy, I climbed the mountain. I'm a paid regular at the most exclusive club in the city. I'm past at all of the clubs. It's nice getting to get up there, but they don't even put up the whole lineups, so no one's even seeing my name there, which, unfortunately, I hate saying that because it sounds ego-driven, but when they posted the lineups and people could see that I was getting up there every night, that helps my career. That helps me as a comedian. And now, for whatever reason, they're like elusive about it. They're like, and more. And it sucks because so many of these places aren't utilizing social media to their advantage. But also a place like that literally, in my opinion, has the ability to create stars. They could elevate, they could highlight the people that they have given stage time to, that they have given the seal of approval, stamp of approval, instead of being this secret thing that you can only experience at this club. You got to go there. It's like they could literally change lives. But for whatever reason, that's not happening. So, like, what am I holding on to? Just the glory? If I want to grow as an artist, I want to grow my reach. First of all, if I want to grow as an artist, as someone who talks about life and makes observations and makes jokes about that, LA is not real life. It's better. I mean, and like, it helps that I go on the road, but like, it's probably better if I experience other cities. I get a wider perspective. Everyone gets smarter and I think has more self-awareness if they've traveled. You become reminded or become aware, if you were completely unaware, that the way you think is not the way the world thinks. And I think that's a little important nugget to drop here, is to remember that when you're getting mad at someone, they don't have your life experience. Because they disagree with you on something. They have a completely different life experience. And that doesn't mean that it hasn't formed a shitty view, but like, save yourself the frustration that comes with you, like, refusing to acknowledge that part of it, with just thinking this person's a piece of shit, because somewhere in your subconscious you assume they've had the exact same life experiences and are still making the shitty choice they're making. But I don't know. That's just my opinion, I guess. I've really gone off on a lot of things here. I am stressed about the fires. I think the first few days I was in sort of like a weird, I don't know if it's denial or dissociation. Like, I was very well aware of how bad it was. I'm partly because Nate wouldn't turn the fucking news off. And he was like, I need to hear it. I need to like know what's going on. It makes me feel like I have more of a sense of like what to do and what the right move is. But also I need to know that, like, he said it and he's like, I feel bad for everyone who's dealing with this and the people who have lost everything, especially, but there is something helpful about knowing we're not alone in this. Cause sometimes I think it's like that beginning of the pandemic thing. I don't know if other people had this, where like I had to keep reminding myself that like I didn't come to a halt individually and everyone else was moving on without me and like continuing to grow and live their lives. And I was just stuck. It was like all of us. And that's kind of what he means. I just hate seeing all the tragedy and also feeling so helpless. Like, I was given a spot at a club. The spot pays $50. And by the way, I've had to cancel the spot because we're not going back. And that is its own level of stress. And when they offered spots this week, they were like, if you would like to donate the proceeds from your spot, we're making a donation and you can donate, which also, now that I'm thinking about it, is like, yeah, I can just fucking donate myself. Now I'm getting mad at a place that loves me, but it's like, to me, that's like the grocery store going, and do you want to donate? Which, by the way, the grocery store did. All of a sudden, the grocery stores have pivoted to donating to LA fires, which is great if they are doing that. But it's like, they're not. We are. Or what I've been told is they already have donated and they're just trying to reimburse themselves. Which, by the way, Airbnb is doing. They're on this whole fucking news campaign of, we're offering people 1 week stays if they've lost everything to the fire. Which is great. But then you can go to Airbnb and they're collecting donations from other people to help supplement, to help offer that. And it's like, so that you're not donating it. You're not donating. You're making the money on the back end and then pretending on the front end that you're a fucking hero. And all that to say, it's like, oh, I could just refuse to let you pay me the money and you'll make a bigger donation and you'll get a bigger tax write-off. Company that already underpays for most of these spots. Okay. No thanks. But more importantly, because in my heart, I'm like, well, I'm going to donate that. If anyone's getting a tax write-off, it's me. Because I need all the help I can get. But the reality is, and what I said to the person who is just the person in charge of sending out the information, they're not running the show. They're not the head of the company. They don't have any say in how or where the money goes or who gets paid what. But I did say to them, I wish I was in a position to offer the $50 I'd be getting paid to victims. But right now, I'm not. And I have to be okay with that. And I think a lot of people have to be okay with that. So my way of helping right now is just sharing information for resources. Everything I see, I'm sharing. I made a highlight on my Instagram. And that's, again, like going back to, I guess it's not the same as me.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/get started for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Listen, that was an unplanned break because this stopped recording. And I want you to know that whatever I was saying before, which was about how, sure, is me sharing information on Instagram and that's all I can do, the same as the people on TikTok I was shitting on who speak about social justice issues and then think they're making a difference when they're really just talking to an echo chamber. No, not at all, because my biggest audience online is in Los Angeles, so there are people who could actually be affected that it could help. But I'm ending this episode. I'm not kidding. I went on for another half an hour, and I'm sure there were funny moments. The whole point is, I hate everything. And you should come see my comedy. It's much more fun than whatever else I just went into. I don't know. I went on a rant about how at what point is the mentality of we rebuild not resilient, but just retarded. I like the way the community has come together. It's very inspiring to see humans helping each other. But also it shouldn't be. You know how shitty the world is that people are shocked? That they're like, I just can't believe how much LA has just come together in this. It's like, that's what you fucking should do. But like, if you live on a coast where hurricanes constantly hit and you're having to completely rebuild your home and the coast is slowly disappearing and going higher and higher, I mean, how many times do you rebuild before it's like, yeah, it's not, fucking move. It's Darwinism. The earth doesn't want you here. Get out. And I feel like some people might hear that and go, wow, privilege. You must be so privileged. You could move. No, but I mean, I guess if every time your house is destroyed, the insurance company completely pays to rebuild it, sure. Keep rebuilding. But from where I'm sitting, doesn't seem like that's happening. I hate to say it, which I don't know. I'm not going to re-listen to everything that just cut off. I don't know if I went on the rant about my little tiny baby renter's insurance policy, which is nothing on the people who just have no fucking fire coverage on their homes that are now gone. But it's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, no, moving is an expense, but so is rebuilding your house. So at what point, I don't know. I'll wrap up with a thing I said. I think I went on far more about it there, but I don't know. The amount of climate scientists I've seen on the news the last couple of days going, and this is just the beginning. It's going to get worse. There's a big part of me, and sure, I think it could be safely argued that I see the world through very negative glasses. Which, ironically, I'm not kidding, I journaled this morning and was like, I'm going to start actively looking for the positive. What's the good thing about this situation? What's the good? And now I just spent over an hour bitching about so many things, so negative, lost half of it, got angry about that. Instead of going, you know, maybe the universe didn't want me to say this, I got on to just go, I'm not going to say the rest. And now I'm still saying it. I'm still saying these things. I don't know if it's American society, I don't know if it's westernized society, or if it's humans in general. It seems like lately have an intolerance for things they cannot accept. We live in a world that refuses to accept things the way they are. And sure, does some of that lead to innovation? Does some of that lead to positive change? Yeah. And I'm not saying if you're in dire, shitty circumstances, you should just sit there and be like, well, this is the way it is. But you have to accept them before you can change them. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's bleak, but there's a part of me that's like, maybe we accept that California is going to burn and shake into the ground. I don't know. Seems like no one's accepting that with the fucking price gouging going on. I don't know. This got sad. Anyway, you know, at least death is imminent and coming for all of us. All right, listen, if you like that, well, I'm probably your cup of tea. So that's good. I don't even like tea. I'm more of a coffee gal myself. But anyways, subscribe, rate, leave a review. Send your stories of idiots in the news. I'm sure more will pop up as we get people trying to take advantage of this situation. IgnoranceIsBlessedPodcast@gmail.com. Please go to punchup.live/JMS and join over there. You'll be on my email list. I'm only going to email you for things like when my special drops, which it will drop over there first. You get exclusive access. And if I'm in a city near you, I'm not going to send you my weekly update. I don't have a weekly marketing blog where I hit you with like, here's what's funny in the news. That's what this is supposed to be. But obviously we see how funny I've made that. Yeah, everyone's doing their best. Some people's best is just fucking real terrible, especially when they're traumatized. So just try to be good to people, love people, and, you know, keep asking questions. The more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know. And the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Is it? I don't know. At this point, what is the use of learning? So you'll just be like, I told you so, as you also sink into the earth. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being patient with my ignorance. I have some really fun guests coming up. That is what I got into. I will like do a quick plug. I had to reschedule 3 different people. One of whom is Audrey Stewart, who thank God is alive. We rescheduled the day last Wednesday when I left the city, and she's like, we're going to hang out. And she's right in Runyon where that fire broke out and they had to bolt, which is so fucking scary. And I'm sure we will talk about that and somehow laugh about it because we're psychopaths, and it'll be a real fun episode. And lots of other guests. I've got my friend Noah Kopfer, who opens for me on the road a bunch. He is helping me edit the special. He makes all my social media comedy clips. So you see there, he's been cutting those up for you guys to enjoy. I'm going to have him on. He's a very funny comic, good friend, and lots more in the future. So if nothing else, look forward to very funny episodes with guests. And, you know, and then whatever these are, at the end of the week. These rants, nightmare tirades. Anyways, my boyfriend has come back and I have to go. Otherwise, I don't know how much more he can sit there and pretend to not hear me while silently maybe wanting to blow his own head off listening to me bitch about it, the air, literally. Also, one more thing, because there's a Wegovy commercial playing, which there have been a lot of them, and that's an alternative to Ozempic. I realize these are just, this is what's popular right now, are these medications, and they're like, let's, you know, pump these out here to get more people strung out on our injections. Is this being a woman, or is this just my own individual mental illness that, like, you know what? I just want to work on my self-esteem and confidence enough to get to the point where when these commercials don't come out, when these commercials come on, I don't go, this is personally targeted to me. The TV thinks I'm fat. They know, and they're coming after me. Is that how everyone feels when a beauty commercial comes? I mean, they did a real good job. Say what you want about the media and how fucked up it is. They have really cornered figuring out how to make women feel like shit and then buy things to try to heal that wound that'll never heal. Anyway, that's it for me. Stay safe. Bye-bye, idiots.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.